Amen, amen, amen. We thank God again for our praise team leading us in worship through praise. There is no other name under heaven by which men and women shall be saved but the name of Jesus. So we thank God for using them this morning to lead us in worship through praise. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and just continue to do, for what you've done even this morning. Lord, we pray that as we come before you, preparing to worship through the study of your word, we pray, Lord, for hearts and minds that are ready to receive your word. We pray again, Lord, that your word, as it goes out, Lord, across this city and across this land, we pray, Lord, that it will fall on good ground. We pray for all of the hearers of your word. We pray that hearers will become doers. And we pray for your preacher, Lord. I pray that you would sit me down and that you would stand up, and that you would do the teaching and the preaching this morning. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dearly beloved, I would that you join me in the Old Testament book of Proverbs. The Old Testament book of Proverbs. And when you get to Proverbs, please turn your attention to the third chapter, Proverbs chapter 3. On last week, we finished our verse-by-verse study through the entire gospel according to Luke. We begin this morning a new study in the book of Proverbs. And so we are in Proverbs, the third chapter, looking, if you will, at two verses, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, turning our attention to verses 5 and 6. Right. The word of God declares, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." May the Lord bless the hearers, readers, and doers of his holy, written, and righteous word. I want to speak this morning from the thought of the subject, quite simply, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. What we see here in the text, trust the Lord. Surgeon Atul Gawande created a system which turned into a book. The book is entitled The Checklist Manifesto. And the purpose of the book was to get doctors to establish a checklist in certain procedures, believing that a checklist would help them to be more efficient, and particularly as it pertains to surgeries. And so what he did is he had in the book what he called pause points. Points for everyone, including the surgeon, to stop and pause just for a moment to make sure that everything was okay. There were three pause points that he suggested in his book. The first was before an incision was made. The first was before anesthesia. The second was before an incision. And the third was before leaving the surgical room. He said if surgeons and all in the room would just take a moment to pause and to consider, make sure everything was okay before going to the next step, he said that it would improve healthcare. And he, of course, was right. 8 hospitals adopted his checklist. And upon adopting his checklist and doing a study, they found out that complications within surgery decreased by 36% within just a couple of months. They found out that deaths decreased by 47%, all because they implemented a checklist which called for pause points. Dearly beloved, I bring that up because we are at a pause point. All right. It's time just to take a minute, just to take a breath, to pause and to look at where we are. And I suggest to you that you've probably had many pause points over the last several weeks, and you'll have many more pause points in the weeks to come. But taking a moment to pause is helpful. But for people of God, taking a moment to pause and then go to God to seek his leading is so much more beneficial. As I shared with you before, we begin a study this morning in the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Proverbs is part of wisdom literature. It's known as the book of wisdom. And I suggest to you that during this time, we need wisdom. We need to operate in wisdom. We need to function in wisdom. And so there are words from the Lord for us in the world in which we live, in the time in which we live, that will be helpful to us. And we begin this morning in Proverbs chapter 3. As we read the text in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, I get excited because it is an exhortation for us to trust God. But not only is it an exhortation to trust God, it's an explanation for how God wants us to trust Him. That's important because trust doesn't mean the same thing to everybody. But God makes it plain in His Word how He wants us to trust Him. You see, trust in the original language, in the Hebrew language, means to completely immerse and lie down or lie yourself in something. The way that you lay down on a bed, all of your weight is on the bed and you trust the bed to hold you. The Lord is saying that we need to trust Him, not partially, but with all of our weight on Him, trusting that He will hold us up. And so here in the text, the Lord gives us four ways as He explains how He wants us to trust Him. First, let me suggest to you that the text says that we must trust Him completely. If you look at verse number 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, the problem is not that there's no trust in the Lord. The problem is that we don't trust Him completely. We don't trust Him with all of our heart. Sometimes we trust Him to a certain extent, but no further. God says in His Word that He wants us to trust Him with all of our heart. Not part of it, but with all of our heart. The psalmist writes in Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. We are to trust the Lord with all of our heart. The Lord used Jeremiah the prophet to really bring this concept to life. If you will join me there, if you can, in Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, it gives us a beautiful picture of what this is like. In Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, the Word of God declares, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Those are the blessings that come when you trust in the Lord and you make Him your hope and confidence. You trust in Him completely. There's a great narrative illustration of this in the Word of God. In 1 Samuel 23, I won't have you turn there, but it is your small group lesson for this week. In 1 Samuel 23, there David, who was on the run from Saul, hears that the Philistines have invaded the land of Keilah. And so He tries to decide whether he should intervene. So he goes to the Lord and asks the Lord, should he go and intervene in the situation? And the Lord says, yes, you should go. And so David comes back and he tells his men the good news. He says, the Lord says that we're to go and we're to go to Keilah and we're to attack the Philistines and we are to conquer them and save this land. But when David told the people, told the men were afraid according to the Word of God. They did not want to go. And so David, upon hearing this, wanted to make sure he heard the Lord right. And so he goes back to the Lord. The text says he goes to the Lord again and he asks him, Lord, is this what you want us to do? And the Lord says, you go to Keilah, you fight the Philistines, I will help you conquer them. And so he goes. The men go with him. And they go to Keilah, they attack the Philistines, they defeat the Philistines, they bring back the livestock. But then Saul hears that David is there. And so Saul says, well, I'm going to go to David because he has trapped himself in a town where he cannot escape. And so David goes to the Lord again because his trust is completely in the Lord. And so he goes to the Lord again and he says, Lord, is this true? Is Saul coming? And the Lord says, Saul is coming. And so David says, well, the leaders of Keilah betray me into his hand. And the Lord says, yes, they're going to betray you. And so then David, of course, at that point, him and his men go take a field and they leave. And so Saul gets word that David has left. And so he does not go. And the Bible says in verse 13 of 1 Samuel 23, that the Lord would not allow Saul to get to David. This is important to understand. Because before David went there, he was running from Saul. Once David was there doing what God had told him to do, that seemed to have put him in harm's way. But the thing that was keeping him from harm was not Saul's ability to get to him. It was God's protection of David, because David trusted completely in the Lord. The Lord calls us to trust him completely. We have to trust him with all. It says in the text, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He wants us to trust him completely, but he also wants us to trust him comprehensively. Look at the text. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do. We are to trust him comprehensively in spite of our own understanding, and in all areas of our life. We are to trust him comprehensively. I like that the Lord mentions your own understanding here, because this trusting of God is not simply a matter of the head, it's also a matter of the heart. Both are included. So it's not a feeling. It is also a calculated decision. Let me help you. It is logical to put your trust in the Lord. It is illogical to put your trust in things and systems that cannot save you. And so the Lord says here in the text, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do. We are to trust the Lord in every area. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus shares with us an experience. As he was conducting his earthly ministry, he came upon a man who he called to follow him and to give his life to him and follow him as he did his ministry. And the man's response to Jesus was, watch this, I will follow you, but let me first go and bury my father. Now, the text indicates, of course, that the man's father, or suggests that the man's father, was not dead. That what he was saying to the Lord was, Lord, I'm willing to follow you, but I need to wait until my father passes so I receive my inheritance. Once I've received my inheritance and worth, once I'm financially where I want to be, then, Lord, I'll follow you. Because, see, now I have a fail-safe, because if this ministry is not enough to care for me, I have my inheritance. So, Lord, then I will follow you. But the Lord lets him know that is not acceptable, because the Lord Jesus says to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. And so he tells the man that he doesn't want partial fellowship. He wants him to follow him now with no guarantees of earthly financial well-being. We are to follow him comprehensively. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do. It happened many years ago. It was back in 1994. There was a man in London. He was an accountant by profession. What made him stand out was that he did not trust doctors or hospitals. He had been feeling ill, so he finally went in to find out what was going on, and he needed to have surgery done. He needed to have surgery done on his bladder. And so the doctors were prepared and ready to do it, but he didn't trust doctors and he didn't trust hospitals. So this man, an educated man, decided that what he was going to do is he was going to do surgery on himself. And that's exactly what he did. He prepared, he numbed himself, he actually operated on himself. As a result of operating on himself, he contracted a post-surgical infection, and that infection led to his death. The doctors were there to help him, but he did not trust them, and it led to his demise. He trusted them enough to get a diagnosis, but he did not trust them enough to allow for them to correct what was wrong. I'm trying to help you understand something. That's how we treat God. Sometimes we trust God just enough, or in a certain area, we trust him to deal with that, but we don't trust him completely and comprehensively, and it will lead to our demise. See, we have to remember that God is bigger than our vision, what we can see, and he is beyond our understanding, what we can comprehend. And so we need to trust him comprehensively. Do you trust him with your home, but you don't trust him with your job? Do you trust him maybe to get you to payday, but you don't really trust him when it comes to raising your kids? Do you trust him with a broken bone, but not with a broken heart? Do you trust him in some areas and not others? That is insufficient. The word of God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do. We are not only to trust him then comprehensively. According to a careful reading of the A clause of verse 6, we are to trust him consistently. The text says, seek his will in all you do, in all of our ways, in every instance, not wavering. We're to trust him in all of it. Let me ask you a question. Do you trust the Lord all the time? You may put your trust in him. You may trust him in maybe every area, but do you trust him consistently? Do you trust him all the time? We're to trust him in all of our ways. If there was ever someone who might have had their trust in God shaken a little bit, I like to suggest that maybe it was Job. Remember that Job found himself an example of the Lord's goodness without him knowing. And as Satan was attacking Job, Job could not quite understand why he was being attacked. He had some theories. His friends had some theories. But regardless of their theories, the fact of the matter was that Job had seen death and destruction in his life. He had seen disease hit his body. In the midst of all of this, Job says in Job chapter 13, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. And so that verse should be an example for us, that Job says, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. I'm going to trust in him completely, comprehensively. I'm going to trust in him consistently, even when things are difficult. And in every area, all the time, I'm going to trust in the Lord. That's what the text calls us to do. Many years ago, a state official traveling to the country on official business was worried about what would happen at the embassy, believing that their country's embassy, situated in the country he was visiting, may have some turmoil to erupt, and he was concerned about it. And so it got nighttime and he couldn't even sleep. His assistant had gone with him, and the assistant, recognizing the sleeplessness of the state official, asked what was wrong. And so the state official said, well, I'm concerned about what may happen come tomorrow and in the days that follow. I'm concerned about what may happen at the embassy, and because of that, I'm just so restless, I cannot sleep. And so the assistant said, well, may I ask you just a question or two? State official said, yes. So the assistant said, well, I know you believe in God, and didn't God take care of things before you got here and before you were born? And of course, the state official had to answer, well, yeah. He said, well, let me ask you just one more question. Do you believe that God will take care of things once you're dead? All right. To which he says, well, I believe that to be true. He says, well, If he took care of things before you got here and he'll take care of things once you leave, why don't you trust him with what's going on in the meantime? in the in-between. Dearly beloved, we can trust him with the in-between, and we can do it consistently. We need to trust him in all of our ways, in all that we do. But there's a fourth way he wants us to trust him. Not just completely, comprehensively, and consistently, but compliantly. It says in the text, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. We are to be submissive in following him. We are to follow his direction, be submissive in our trust of him. Let me ask you a question. What good is it to trust the Lord for him to show you the path and you not take it? We are to trust the Lord compliantly. And if we do that, he will show us the path to take. In Exodus chapter 14, Moses is leading the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, out of Egyptian bondage. But they come to a place where they have the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army behind them. They are on the run. And so the Lord speaks to Moses as Moses goes to the Lord. And the Lord tells Moses, tell the people to stand still and they'll see the salvation of the Lord. Now it would have been one thing if the Lord said, go left. It would have been another thing if he had said, go right. But the Lord told Moses in that moment to stop. Again, Pharaoh's army was behind him and was gaining ground. And the Lord said, stand still. Moses, of course, following the Lord, being compliant in his trust of the Lord, stood still. As Moses stood still, the Lord did what only he could do, and he parted the Red Sea. And then the Bible gives one of my favorite verses of all time. It says that the children of God went through the Red Sea on dry ground. I don't have time to deal with that right now, but every time I think about that and every time I read it, I get excited. Because I've spent a lot of time on water, I've spent a lot of time fishing, and it's impossible for mud to be dry. And so that means that when the Lord parted the Red Sea, that the ground wasn't even muddy, that they actually walked on dry ground to the other side. And the Lord delivered them. And before he sent them, he said, go forward. Those two words, go forward. And they went forward. If they had not been compliant in their trust in the Lord, if Moses had not, they would have never escaped Egypt. The word of God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. We are to trust him completely, comprehensively, consistently, and compliantly. Trust his path. We have to trust him. When airplanes first began their flights, they noticed that in cloud cover, things got difficult. They could not see the horizon. And so pilots would go by feel. And so they would make adjustments in cloud cover. But too often, those adjustments led them into danger, sometimes in spirals that would lead to their death. And so to fix this, man came up with a system that would give them a virtual horizon that would allow them, even in cloud cover, to see a line that represented the horizon so that they could keep the plane straight. But even with that, too many didn't trust it. And so they would see it and not really believe it to be right. And so they would adjust, they would turn. And especially for new pilots, it's amazing the number of new pilots that will come out of cloud cover completely upside down. And they were upside down because they would not trust the instruments at their disposal. Dearly beloved, I want you to understand something. If your life is completely upside down, maybe you should trust what you have at your disposal. Maybe you should trust the Lord. Trust as he guides you. Trust the adjustments he's telling you to make. Trust him compliantly. The text says, as I prepare to take my seat, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. It was some years ago. There was a lady visiting Niagara Falls for the first time. As she was visiting Niagara Falls, there's a point where there's a bridge that allows you to go over just a part of the fall. And as you're traveling on that bridge, if you look down, you see the majesty, but also the power that is Niagara Falls. And so she had gone to take a step or so on the bridge, and she looked down, and she saw Niagara Falls beneath her feet, and she froze. She would not move. And so she had her left hand on one part of the bridge, her other hand on the other part, and there she stood in a tight grip, not willing to move. And so the guide, recognizing what had happened, came back to her and tried to get her to move on. And so he told her, he asked her, he said, do you trust me? I'm good at this. This is my profession. Do you trust me? She said, yes, I believe I can trust you. He said, well, give me your hand and I'll walk with you across. And so she reached out her left hand and gave it to the guide, but they were not able to make any progress. Because he turned around and he looked, and although he had her left hand in his, her right hand was still gripping on to that part of the bridge. And so he had to double back. He had to look at her again, and he had to say, well, we won't make any progress this way. What I need you to do is put both of your hands inside of mine, and I promise you we'll get to the other side. She was reluctant, but eventually she did it. Minutes later, they were on the other side on safe ground. The reason I bring that up, though, is she never would have got to the other side and got to safe ground if she didn't put both of her hands in his. Dearly beloved, the Lord wants you to put both of your hands in his. Put yourself in his hands. Trust him completely, comprehensively, compliantly. He can get you to the other side. And we will get to the other side of this. COVID-19 wasn't always here, and COVID-19 won't always be here. We will get to the other side, but to get to the other side, we have to put ourselves in his hands. And so the question I have for you this morning is, do you trust him? Do you trust him completely? Do you trust him comprehensively? Do you trust him compliantly, consistently? Do you trust him? And maybe you're listening to this message and you've not trusted the Lord with the most important thing, which is your salvation, your eternal soul. It is my prayer that you will trust the Lord Jesus Christ today. Because when we need it to get to the other side, when we need it to get from death to life, when we needed to get from heaven from hell to heaven, the Lord sent his son Jesus Christ. He is our bridge and our guide. And if you've not trusted him, won't you trust him today? If you need help with that, reach out to our ministry. You can go to our website and reach out to us. You can respond to us here, even on social media. And we'll open the word of God to you and introduce you to him for yourself. Trust in the Lord. And the question is, do you trust him? Can I pray for you? Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you through praise, worship you through preaching. Lord, we pray that you are pleased with the worship that was given to you today. We pray, Lord, that homes and more specifically hearts were impacted by the worship today. We pray, Lord, for your continued guidance for our nation, for our state, for our city, for our community, for our church. We pray, Lord, that you will lead us in the path that you would have us to go. We pray that you would bring an end to the current pandemic. We trust you. We put our trust in you. in you. We pray that you will keep us until we can come together again. And we look forward to the day that we don't just come together virtually, but we come together personally to worship you in spirit and in truth. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before his glorious presence with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, honor, majesty, and power, both now, henceforth, and forevermore. And let all who love the Lord say, amen. Amen. God bless you, and may the Lord keep you.